We welcome you. My name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. If you are new, we have Kids Church right now with Pastor Joe in the back, so feel free to join him. So all elementary kids, you can join Joe in the back there. Now, if you are new, we take sermon notes here. These are opportunities to learn from today's message, but also to apply it to our everyday life throughout this week. So if you want a hard copy, there should be some left. If not, you can go online. It's all there. If you are a digital guy or lady and you want to get the notes, you can get it from there. Now, when you see this wonderful mirror, what do you see? Of course, you see your beautiful face, right? You see maybe someone who is really talented, or maybe you see someone and you're like, wow, look at those muscles. They're so big over there, right there. So whatever that looks like to you, we mirror what we see. And we're in a sermon series right now in 1 Peter, and Peter is encouraging us not to just mirror ourselves, but to mirror Christ, to reflect Christ. And that's why we are talking about influence, is that it's not just you and I who influence, it's Christ that influences us. We mirror, we reflect Jesus. That's the whole concept of the letters for Peter. Now, if you have been joining us, we talk about many different things like relationships or our culture, our workplaces, classmates. All of those things really talk about mirroring Christ. But today, our topic is about suffering. And everyone said amen to that. When we suffer in pain or brokenness or human limitations, how should we mirror Christ? This is what Peter is really trying to say. So if you have your outlines, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the seat in front of you. That's our gift to you. Feel free to take it home. It's yours. And God bless you. But also, it's going to be on the screen behind me. This is what Peter says about 2,000 years ago. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. You see, he's saying you should mirror what Jesus has done when it comes to pain and suffering. Now, no one here could ever say, Andy, I haven't experienced pain before, or I haven't experienced human limitations or brokenness. We all have. And so Peter talks about how to suffer well. So how do we suffer well and mirror Jesus rather than just mirror ourselves in our culture? Well, according to Peter, if you're taking notes, suffering well is practicing salvation well. Now, salvation, if you have been growing up in church, is not just a transaction with Jesus, saying, well, if I confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior, therefore I am now a follower of Jesus and I'm going to heaven one day. Salvation is more than just a feeling or an experience or an event. Salvation, as we see in the pages of Scripture, is a person named Jesus. It's relational. It's meant to be experienced every day. We started today's service with a passage of Scripture from Psalm 34. And Peter is actually quoting the same psalm 700 years later. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste and see that the Lord is good, Peter gives this promise. You will lack nothing. Amen? Like, how amazing is that? You will lack nothing in your relationships or in your business or in school when you taste and see that the Lord is good. How many people here like really good food? Anyone here? We all love, yeah, you know, we all love food. And in most cases, your food brings out the best in you, especially when you experience really good food. It's with good people, maybe good conversation, maybe it's on Main Street because that's really important to you, wherever that goes. Actually, even in the evenings, all of Vancouver comes to Main Street to have really good food. Now, I don't know about you either, but if you are younger, like my three teenage boys, I pick on them a lot, by the way, they're always hungry. Like, even after dinner, they're like, Mom, Dad, I'm still hungry. What's in the pantry? I'm starving. Ugh, I'm always hungry. And why are they always hungry? Because they're growing. They're growing boys. And as you eat really good food, stick with me here a bit, you're sustained or you're nourished or strengthened. Peter is saying this in the same way when it comes to salvation. When you practice salvation well, you are nourished and strengthened, and you are sustained when suffering comes. When brokenness comes in your life, you don't have to be lacking in anything because of salvation, because salvation nourishes your soul. He strengthens you and sustains you for everyday reality. And you might be here and you're like, well, Andy, you don't get me. I deal with depression. I deal with anxiety. You don't know my background. I come from a broken home. All these different things that come at us. Yes, I understand those things. But salvation in the midst of suffering realizes that it's not just a ticket to heaven. It is meant to be practiced in everyday life and gives you strength when suffering comes at you. So maybe you're here today and you're like, well, what is salvation then? If it's not just a ticket to heaven, or if it's not just confession, which is part of it, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was raised on the third day, and we invite him in so that we can have relationship and go to heaven. So what does that mean to practice salvation? Well, if you read 1 Peter, if you have a chance, this is what he outlines them out. The first thing is, and this is not in your sermon notes, so if you want to take a picture of this, feel free to do so, but this is salvation to Peter. Salvation is forgiveness of ongoing sin. We're not perfect, friends, even though you're pretty close to being perfect. We all sin. We're all broken. Yet Jesus gives us forgiveness of sins. When we confess our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, one of his best friends said, John. And then he cleanses us so that we are filled not with guilt or shame, but with his presence. Now, hear with me today. It's not just enough to confess sin. You have to invite God's love and Holy Spirit to change you from sin patterns that have caused guilt and shame in your life. And each one of us in this room have different sin patterns. How I was raised or how you were raised usually shows those sin patterns. But you've got to invite Jesus into those areas of your life so that you experience the power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit who lives and is a guide to you in everyday life. He's the mighty counselor. He provides you a heavenly family. So I actually grew up in a really good home. But as I moved out, my parents broke up. And because of that, there was a brokenness in our family. For 16 years, it was actually very, very difficult. But what was really great for me is I found family in local church. I found spiritual moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, friends in church. It was one of the best places that I can be. Same with you. Even if you don't come from a broken home, you need to know that you find a new home here at Home Church or whatever church you're part of. We have a heavenly family because of salvation. Salvation protects you from you. Salvation protects you from trying to mirror you. Even though you're very good looking in the room, even though you have big muscles, even though you're very smart in every way, we don't mirror ourselves as followers of Jesus. We mirror Christ. And so salvation protects us from our own brokenness, from our own sin patterns, and sets us free for wisdom for the day. This is how we practice salvation when suffering comes. It's like King David said 2,700 years ago, and as Peter said, 700 years past that, so 2,000 years ago, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you do, he sustains your soul, he gives you strength for the day, and he satisfies every need when we practice salvation. How amazing. Maybe you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you haven't experienced salvation like this. I want to encourage you that even at the end of today's chat, that I want to give you an opportunity to actually invite salvation to be practiced, not just experienced. We also see that when we have wisdom for the day and we are practicing salvation, then in the midst of our suffering, we can practice right living well. You know, when we suffer, true colors come out. That's when we truly see ourselves. We don't have to blame or shift or run away or shrink from suffering. We can actually lean into it because it gives us an opportunity to be like Jesus. Peter puts it this way: finally, in the midst of suffering, all of you, not just Pastor Andy, but all of us, to be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil or insult with insult, he says. So if you want to take notes, you can underline that. This is how Jesus treated us. He didn't treat our insults or evil with evil or with insult or judgment. He showed compassion. He was like-minded. Usually, we're like-minded based on our backgrounds or how we were raised. I talked about sin patterns. And each one of us come from a family that we love, but there's also brokenness to that. So I grew up in a business home. I thought that when I was 30 years of age, I would retire because I was a businessman and perhaps a lawyer. I'm a pastor and I'm 45 years of age at home church, 15 years late. So in any context, what is happening is that God calls us to be like-minded, not on our past, not based on our broken nature, not based on our family heritage, but like Christ, to mirror Jesus. But for that to happen, you have to invite salvation to change you. So how do we actually do that in this context? So let me unpack this really quickly. To be sympathetic means to feel like others feel. It means to connect with one another on an emotional level, not just in thought or deed. And so a couple weeks ago, I was invited to be part of a young pastor, emerging pastor conference. There was about 100 pastors and spouses in the room. And at the end of one of the sessions, I had a chance to pray for pastors. And so at the altar, at the front, I was praying for pastors' marriages. I was praying for young pastors who are having conflict in their churches. There's no conflict at home church, by the way. We pray for emerging people, emerging pastors that felt inadequate or wanted to quit. I prayed for a pastor that thought that he wasn't good enough and he asked for a job at home church. I said, sorry, I don't have any room at home church. But I connected on an emotional level. I was able to pray with them and speak life into them because I've experienced that myself as a pastor. You might be here seasoned in life. You have an opportunity to impart wisdom and be sympathetic in emotional connection before others. You see, we connect one another ministerially through prayer rather than to fix or judge or to minimize others. So we sympathize. We are like-minded, like Christ, what he did for us. And then we love one another in the midst of suffering when we don't feel like it, Peter says. And this is what we learned last week about the quality of our relationship with Jesus is really about the quality of relationship that we have with others. And there's 97 one another commandments in the New Testament narrative. In fact, it was the most important reality as followers of Jesus of how to love one another, because they were the practices of Jesus. So I put on your sermon notes some of those practices. It's on the screen behind me as well. Ask yourself, which one do you find more natural to do? What comes natural to you with these qualities of Jesus, with the one another commandments of Jesus? Are you good at praying with one another or serving one another, blessing one another perhaps? You're hospitable and you want people over. You encourage one another. This can happen on Sunday mornings, by the way. All of these practices don't have to just happen in your home. It could happen in every place. And you don't have to go up to someone and say, hey, I'm going to love you like Jesus. You just simply, hey, you want a donut? Like, it's not that hard. Every single one of us can do this. Sometimes we over-spiritualize the one another commandments. It's just to practice them. It's not very hard to get your phone out and type in a little quick message and say, hey, praying for you, thinking of you. It's not very hard to take a picture of our new sign, by the way, that has a halo effect at night. You can't see it right now with light. You can take a picture, put it on Google and say, hey, this is the best place on earth for me. Here's why. Hope you can join us. How hard would that be? It takes 3 minutes of your day. It's so important for us to practice the one another commandments of Jesus, because each of us can. Can you build each other up? Can you mourn with those that mourn? Laugh with those that laugh? Being patient with one another and bearing with one another's burdens. and to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. So what comes natural to you? What type of gift or practice that you tend to go to? And the opposite is also true. What should you practice? This is a holistic list because of the characteristics or the practices of Jesus for us. These are the ways of Jesus. Salvation not only enters our hearts, salvation is meant to be practiced with our hearts. And we're called to do the same. And then because of that, we get to mirror not just ourselves, we mirror Christ. Christ is full of compassion and he's humble. And so Christ calls us the same. Even though I have a last name, even though I come from a background, even though I come from family patterns and sin, I don't mirror those things anymore. I try to mirror Christ just like you, just like us as a church, to mirror Christ as Peter has said. So suffering well gives us an opportunity not only to practice salvation well or to practice right living in a wrong world, but we also see this amazing reality for Peter that suffering well releases God's salvation to a suffering world. So Peter puts it this way. I'm just going to read the first verse. Who's going to harm you, friends, if you are eager to do good? Like, who can really speak bad about you if you're doing good? In other words, let your deeds speak louder than people's words. And you might be saying to yourself, well, how can we actually do this? Well, for Peter, salvation, when practiced well, pushes back darkness. When practiced well, evil is pushed back, and the light of Jesus shines through. And maybe you're here today, and throughout this message, you're focused more on the suffering side. Rather than talk about salvation, we should talk about suffering, because each of us, in most cases, in some cases, have been unjustly broken. We just live in a broken world. So maybe in the midst of my talk today, you're thinking to yourself, well, Andy, where's God? Where's God in all this suffering? Yeah, you talk about salvation. I get it. Talk about practicing the one another commandments. Hear it. But what does it mean when I'm actually suffering right now? Where is God in all of this and my own brokenness? Each one of us have to wrestle with these questions, including myself. But let me share some encouragement with you this morning. The first thing is that suffering in this world is because of human brokenness, not because of God's goodness. You see, a long, long time ago, at the beginning of time, there was no sin or shame or guilt. It was called paradise. And there was two people living there, Adam and Eve. I can't wait to meet Adam and Eve because I'll be like, what the heck were you thinking? Like, are you seriously going to do this? Do you realize that I am here and had to wait this long to say this to you? Like, what was going through your head, man? They're probably going to say, I don't know. Like, but it's because of human choice. You see, you and I have choices. We have choices because it's called free will. Adam and Eve had free choice, where there was no sin, no shame or guilt, but they decided to do it on their own terms. Rather than trusting God, they rather would trust their own ways, and sin entered the world, or human brokenness. So it's not because of God's goodness that there's suffering in the world. Unfortunately, it's because of you and I. We're just broken people. You can thank Adam and Eve for that when you meet them one day, if you are a follower of Jesus. And in this story, we also see that suffering, unfortunately, has consequences, just like human choices that you and I do, not because of God's character. So God can't give us good things like salvation unless he's a good God. You have to wrestle with that, because the question is, why is there suffering in their world? Why is there brokenness? Why is there evilness in this world if God says he's good? Well, it's not because of God. It's because of us. And human nature wants to blame other people. We want to blame someone. We want to blame something of why there's human brokenness in our lives rather than owning it. It's easy to blame Pastor so-and-so or Pastor Andy or my husband or my wife or the error. You decide what to blame, because it's easier to shift responsibility than to own what we need to own, which are our own human choices. And this is why we need salvation. Suffering points us to the need of salvation in Jesus, because if you want to put all the blame on someone, put it on Jesus. He took it all. He took on all the shame of the world. He took on all the brokenness of the world. He's taken on all the unfairness you've ever experienced, the unfairness of the world, unfairness in relationship. He took it all, and he put it on the cross, and he welcomed it so that you can practice and experience salvation today. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and I want to encourage you today with these words, with these words. If you can get anything out of today, please get this. Suffering, human suffering, is just for a moment, but salvation will last forever. Let me say that again. Suffering in our limited amount of time, in our own human brokenness and weaknesses, suffering is just a moment. Salvation lasts forever. Be encouraged today that if you experience a unique brokenness, suffering is temporary. And when faith rises to the occasion, it recognizes that suffering is temporary and that salvation is eternal. Salvation has been prepared for you, not just to experience, but to practice by Jesus. And due to this, Jesus has conquered once for all human suffering. He's taken it all. When suffering and brokenness come your way, who do you mirror the best? Is it yourself? Is it your human weakness and brokenness? Does anger, anxiety want to rise rather than faith and peace? Does judgment and blame take over? Or does salvation? I'm not talking about a ticket to heaven. I'm not talking about a transaction between Christ's love and your sin. Talking about practicing, mirroring Jesus, and including myself. Each one of us have to ask that question. But the reality as followers of Jesus is that salvation is eternal. It's everlasting. There is hope for today and forevermore, because sin has been conquered. Temptation has been defeated. Death itself has been overtaken by the resurrection of Jesus. And we know as followers of Jesus, therefore, that suffering is limited. That suffering lasts just for a moment. And because of it, we can mirror Jesus. Have you experienced that salvation? Have you experienced Maybe you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You know it, perhaps. You've heard it before, but you haven't necessarily practiced the one another commandments of Jesus. It is the attitude of salvation. And it's not about guilt or shame. It's about inviting salvation into your heart, into your mind. As Peter says, through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you are empowered to be like Jesus. If that's you today, if we can respect the room with your eyes closed, I want you to raise your hand to me, because I want to pray with you. I want to empower you, that you would not only encounter salvation, but that you would practice salvation. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand just to say, and I need you to pray. see, when God is real, thank you. Put your hand down. When we're real with God, God becomes real to us. It's not just a head knowledge, it's a hard experience and encounter. And maybe you're here today and you're like, Pastor Andy, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I need to start practicing how to be a follower of Jesus. When suffering and brokenness have come my way, my suffering and brokenness tends to be elevated rather than the practices of salvation. Maybe you're here today and you need to practice the one another commandments of Jesus to those closest to you or those around you. If that's you today and you want Jesus to empower you, I just ask you to raise your hand and say, Andy, that's me. I need God to empower me. Thank you. Me too, man. Me too. Empower us. Lord, I pray for every single human heart that's here today that needs to encounter salvation afresh, as we see in 1 Peter. That God, salvation is more than just a ticket to heaven or a transfer of faith. It's meant to be practiced in everyday life. And I pray for every single person that raised their hearts and their hands to you today, that they would experience salvation afresh, that they would see and taste that you are good, that in the midst of human suffering, they wouldn't feel depleted or discouraged or dismayed, but that they would be strengthened and sustained and given wisdom to make the most out of their limited days here on earth. I pray for all of us as a church that we would practice the one another commandments of salvation, that we would learn how to be followers of Jesus that pushes back darkness, that pushes back evil, that pushes back brokenness, and that they would experience hope in a person named Jesus. Friends, salvation is real. Salvation is now, and salvation lasts forever, even though human suffering lasts for a moment. And lastly, maybe you're here today and you've been crippled by suffering. You've been deflated. You've been beaten up. You don't want this to happen, but your heart grows cold and numb, and you've turned into a relational robot. You've shut down. And even though in your mind and your heart you know that God's real, and that God is good, life hasn't. And you've been beaten up. I want to encourage you today that suffering, even though unjust for you, is a moment. But you have to give that suffering to Jesus, to salvation. That's you today, and you've been crippled by life circumstances. I just want to pray encouragement to you as a pastor. But would you invite Jesus into those areas? That's you. Do you mind raising your hand as well? I want to pray with you. Life has been unfair, unjust, unkind, and it shut you down. And that they would let salvation in the midst of their suffering. Just like Peter has said, that salvation pushes back the darkness and the brokenness, as we call it to you. And so as we worship the Lord together today, we're going to open up these altars. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. If you have a special prayer request, if you have a special need, don't leave this place until you give it to the Lord, because he wants to speak life to you and minister to you and grant you salvation and practice salvation in the midst of your suffering. There's no shame here. There's no guilt here. It's the Spirit. living God, that's you. And so we open not only the altars, but we open up this room that as we worship, that God would speak to you afresh, that you would taste and see that the Lord is good, even when life at times isn't. So let's stand together. We're going to invite salvation to speak. God, we invite you, Holy Spirit, into this space, not just room, but in the space of our hearts, in the space of our suffering, in the space that we haven't given to you yet, and that we would encounter you afresh. As we open up altars, we open up our hearts, and we pray, God, that you would hear us, and that you would know us, and that you would speak to us as we're real with you. Let this not just be songs that we sing, but an invitation for you to speak.